All right, let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you tonight for the study of your word. Thank you for the revelation of the knowledge and wisdom of you. Lord, I pray that we would learn tonight and understand of you that you are the one who answers us in our trouble. And there is nothing too hard for you. I pray tonight that we would learn how to overcome this world. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. All right, so 1 Samuel 21, as we continue to study, put your left finger there in 1 Samuel 21 and find your way on over to 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16 and 17. We began this instruction in righteousness series last week. Might be my first series I've ever done. I don't know if you call it a series, but 2 Timothy 3:16. We're going to continue tonight this thought of instruction in righteousness. 2 Timothy 3:16 says that all scripture is given by inspiration of God. Is 1 Samuel 21 and 22 considered part of scripture? Yes, it is, right? It's the record. It's that which is agreed upon by the Jews, that's their text, right? That's in the Tanakh. You do realize our Old Testament matches all of the books that are accepted in Judaism as their scripture. So very important. You see, all scripture is given by inspiration of God, is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction. I have no intent tonight that you're going to get some doctrine. You might even get reproved or corrected. Get back on the right track tonight in regards to, and again, who do I need to make eye contact with on that one? Get back right on track. So, he was looking at me, right? But this last phrase, this is what I'm intending this to be for us, instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, or again, the idea there of being made complete, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. Now, when we study 1 Samuel, we're going to find out that David has a work to do. David has been anointed by God to be the king of Israel, and having received the Holy Spirit from that point for him, as he was anointed by oil, with oil by Samuel, the Spirit of the Lord came upon him. Now, I offer up to us in this instruction in righteousness tonight, again, so instruction in righteousness, colon. Last week it was persecution, learning all the things that our Lord taught, that all who seek to live godly lives in Christ Jesus will be persecuted. You'll be chased. You'll have to flee some point in this life as you learn that one. And we're going to take up tonight, as David continues to be persecuted by Saul, and as he is fleeing, tonight's instruction on righteousness is overcoming. Overcoming. We find David in 1 Samuel 21, 1, David came to Nob, to Ahimelech the priest. So he has fled to Samuel, and that didn't work so well. Saul pursued him there. Saul ended up prophesying, but then David flees Samuel, and he ends up now coming to a city of the priests called Nob. Ahimelech was afraid at the meeting of David and said unto him, "Why art thou alone and no man with thee?" See, because David, when he was going out, he would be going out and fighting the battles for King Saul, and he's a man of war. Now he's coming there, and he's not operating the way that he is. David said unto Ahimelech the priest, "The king has commanded me a business, and said unto me, let no man know anything of the business whereabout I send thee. And what I have commanded thee, I have appointed my servants to such and such a place. Now therefore, what is under thine hand? Give me 5 loaves of bread in my hand, or what there is present." And the priest answered David and said, "There is no common bread under my hand, but there is hallowed bread, if the young men have kept themselves at least from women." And David answered the priest and said unto them, "Of a truth, women have been kept from us about these 3 days since I came out, and the vessels of the young men are holy, and the bread is in a manner common, yea, though it were sanctified this day in the vessel." So the priest gave him the hallowed bread. That's the showbread that would have been on in the presence of the Lord in the tabernacle. So you're understanding the tabernacle of God was either in Gibeon, and again, the record seems like it may have been in Nob for a time. And the reference here that showbread is the bread that is being given unto David, because there was no other bread but the showbread. And that was taken before the Lord to put hot bread in the day when it was taken away, and that would have been changed out every week. So the priest gave him the hallowed bread. Now a certain man of the servants of Saul was there that day, detained before the Lord, his name Doeg, an Edomite, the chiefest of the herdmen that belonged to Saul. So we'll get introduced to him a little bit in the next chapter. But I want to take this up, overcoming. And there's a little bit of alliteration to help you out tonight. Okay, we're going to have five of them. We're going to look at how David, as he walks through persecution, being chased, fleeing, again, in trouble. I'm just going to state that to you. Get used to this in your Christian life, that you will have trouble in this supernatural Christian life. As you seek to live for the Lord, trouble will be in your life. In fact, some of it will come because of what you did. And I think it's a very important understanding that God does not forsake you when you stumble. God does not forsake you. In fact, our Lord has promised us that he will never leave us and he will never forsake us. Even if the trouble that you get into is your own, okay, you can cry out to him when you're in trouble and he will hear you. He will deliver you. Now, we begin here. The first one, overcoming the false. Find your way to the Gospel of Mark. Matthew, let's do Matthew. Matthew 12. So you do realize that the three first Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, are called the Synoptic Gospels because they cover much of the same parts of the life of Jesus as they give their record. In Matthew chapter 12, while Jesus is being, straight up on it, he is being persecuted for how he, as a rabbi, doesn't keep the Sabbath like the rest of the rabbis and scribes and Pharisees keep the Sabbath. Now, I offer up to you, this is very important in our day, because overcoming the false, we need to understand, as we follow Jesus, much of the persecution will come from the hypocrisy that's just scattered in churchianity. And I offer this up because Jesus describes this, 12:1. At that time, Jesus went on the Sabbath day through the corn, and his disciples were hungry, and they began to pluck the ears of corn and eat. But when the Pharisees saw it, they said unto him, "Behold, thy disciples do that which is not lawful to do upon the Sabbath." He's just been accused of teaching his disciples how to sin. Now, I offer up to us as we enter into this part as, again, a little bit of cross-referencing, but with this theme of overcoming the false. The false notion that religion demands upon you to keep certain rules and regulations. Jesus here reveals. He says, he said unto them, Matthew 12:3, "Have you not read what David did when he was hungry and they were with him?" Okay. He, Jesus, references David's life, not like a fairy tale, not some kind of, you know, not some kind of platitude that to sort of live by, but the truth that would enter into your heart to see how David lived, and really when David was in trouble, how God was there. Now, first and foremost, I offer up to you, Jesus here is going to overcome the false notion of what the Sabbath had become. How he entered into the house of God and did eat the showbread. David went in and he ate the showbread, which was not lawful for him to eat because he was not a priest. Okay. Verse 5, "Or have you not read in the law how that on the Sabbath days the priests in the temple profane the Sabbath and are blameless? But I say unto you that in this place one greater than the temple is one greater than the temple. But if you had known what this means, 'I will have mercy and not sacrifice,' you would not have condemned the guiltless. For the Son of Man is Lord even of the Sabbath day." See, when Jesus comes and and lives his life and removes the false notions of the hypocritical righteousness that the Pharisees had lived by. Now, very important for us, again, just removing the false notions. Okay? Things like this, lies of Satan that just get perpetrated in church and continue, like when a mother loves her child too much, God takes that child away. A bunch of garbage, right? It's not maybe said much now, but just think of how much goes on, even in regards to suicide. That the idea, the false notion that if somebody, a Christian, commits suicide, that's the automatic sin that somebody goes to hell. False notions. See, and I offer up, and as we study this, and Jesus being Lord of the Sabbath, search out the scriptures and know and find these answers, because David is going to take this experience and he's going to write the Psalms. Okay? Jesus is referencing this, and what is the Sabbath? Well, Sabbath was made for man. Jesus is the Lord of the Sabbath. And you're going to find out that even though that showbread was consecrated and placed before the Lord, and when it came off, it was directed to only be eaten by the priests, but in the day of trouble. Do you hear this? In the day of trouble, God made provision for David to save his life, to have that. Now, we come to this study tonight, and the first one is overcoming the false. Overcoming every false notion that is out there. And let me illustrate here. Jesus is saying there's one who is greater, who is here, greater than the temple. Do you understand what he's getting at? This place, this temple, these practices, these traditions, this religion, these sacraments, churchianity has done it all. See, if we remove in us the notion that tradition or rules, regulations, in fact, Jesus is stating he is greater than the temple that's in Jerusalem because he's the Son of God. Now, we come to this understanding tonight. First one, right? Removing the false. Introduced to Doeg, back in 1 Samuel 21. Certain man of the servants of Saul was there that day, detained before the Lord. Now, chief of the herdsmen, an Edomite, and he is no doubt then providing of Saul's herds in sacrifices, and he's detained before the Lord. Now, I believe it's this. We don't know, but I'm just going to offer up. One of the reasons he could be detained before the Lord is because he's bringing for sacrifices, and they need to be inspected, right? And we're going to get David's psalm on Doeg. We're going to get there tonight as well, Psalm 52. So, next chapter. Now, verse 8, and David said to Ahimelech, and is there not here under thine hand a spear or a sword? For I have neither brought my sword nor my weapons with me, because the king's business required haste. Now, are you catching what David is doing? Right? Has the king sent him on business? No, remember, he's fleeing from the king. Remember how him and Jonathan arranged he wasn't going to be at the table. They did the whole thing with the arrows, and the arrows are beyond you. He's fleeing. And David, he flees to Nob. He flees to the priest, and he seeks help there. But you'll notice he's not being forthright. Now, we'll get into this next part as you, look for that next one that is overcoming. The priest gives him the sword of Goliath the Philistine, verse 9, whom thou slewest in the valley of Elah. I like that because here is that witness of, right, of the mighty working power of God upon David to deliver Israel from the enemy. And that sword remains. That sword was placed up, again, it's described here, wrapped in a cloth behind the ephod. It was kept in the tabernacle, and thou wilt take that, for there is no other to save here. And David said, there is none like it. Give it to me. David arose and fled that day for fear of Saul. Verse 10. I want you to look at that verse. David arose that day and fled for fear of Saul. Now, this next one, I'll introduce it now. And this one here is the key one tonight. Overcoming fear. Okay? Overcoming fear. See, a big part of this, the trouble that's in the world, and if you think about it, how Satan rules the world, he rules the world in fear and torment of death. Fear is a very real thing. The future expectation of evil. Again, what's David looking at? He's looking at this, and literally, if you look at this in the Hebrew, David fled that day for fear of Saul. The word there for fear has to do with the face or the presence of Saul. So he, again, he is reasoning and thinking. Think of where he's gone. He's fled to, right? He's fled to Samuel. That didn't work. And then he flees now to the priest, and that's not going to work. So where can you go when you're in trouble? And this is a big part of this, and David's going to learn this. Now, I was working with the title tonight, Instruction in Righteousness Overcoming, but there's this other part. You have to learn how to overcome fear. Okay, the biggest issue for believers is trust. This is trouble that comes into your life. Where do you turn? Some people make God the last resort rather than their first refuge. Do you hear that? Making God your last resort means you're going to chase all the way around and looking for whatever you can find in this world to get you out of trouble. Now, the problem is this modern world has 50,000 things to throw at you when you're in trouble. If you would put in an internet search and then you describe your trouble, it would return for you millions of answers. How do you know if any of them are any good? Now, I look at this study tonight, again, instruction in righteousness. We need to learn from David how he overcame fear. Because if that is true, and then the likeness of Jesus when he says to us, as he gave word to his apostles, they recorded it down, John recorded it for us. He says, in this world you will have tribulation, but take heart, or be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. Now, who is he who overcomes this world? But he who believes, right, on the Son of God. Now, in trouble, where do you turn? David arose and fled that day for fear of Saul, fear of man. Fear of death, fear of, go right down the list, fear of dying, or fear of being found out if you're walking in darkness. Go right through the list. David arose that day and fled for fear of Saul, went to Achish, king of Gath. He actually flees and runs into the arms of the enemy. Not a surprise that when you fall prey to Satan's tactics to stumble and trip you up with fear, that you run right to him and to the world, where he is the ruler of the world. And certainly he's willing to offer up to you his remedies with all deceit. The servants of Achish said unto him, is this not David, king of the land? Didn't they sing songs about him? Right? That this is the David, the king of the land. You'll notice that king of the land. It's already known David's been anointed king, even though he's not the king. See, Christian, right? You are the light of the world. You hear that? See, you are the light of the world. A city that is on a hill cannot be hidden. When we flee in fear and run to the enemy, we're running to darkness. Now, I'm just thinking on this and again, learning this and what we need to learn in overcoming fear. And, you know, to me, Proverbs 4:18, the idea of the path of the just shines even brighter unto that perfect day. See, you're going to see David in the beginning, and this is good for us, in fear, right, stumbles and walks in darkness. And if you don't catch this, fear will do this to you every time. But it's okay to know that this is the walk in the beginning, and if you can't see and you're afraid, and maybe you're afraid to step, you're afraid to obey, you're afraid to, here's the truth, trust God in your trouble. Will he hear you? But you might offer up and say, but my trouble is my own sin and I've kept it hidden and nobody knows about it. And I'm really in trouble secretly and I'm tormented by Satan secretly because I have this secret hidden sin. And if everybody knew about it or if anyone knew about it, they would expose what I'm really doing. Trust me, right? That's why this exists, that you can come clean, right? You can walk in the light. You don't have to live for reputation. David is not living for reputation, okay? He's afraid, he's acting upon that, and he runs to the enemy, and the enemy, they actually take him captive. So you know how Paul tells Timothy how it is that you are to pray for those who have been taken captive by the enemy at his will or to do his will, that you're praying that they would come to their senses and escape the snare of the devil. Now, I look at this, that fear is a snare for David. Now, we're going to get his commentary on this event here shortly as we will be going to Psalm 34 real soon. But let's get through this a little bit here. David laid up these words in his heart. Okay? So David understands that the servants are saying to Achish, David is your enemy. Okay? They capture him, and then David laid up these words in his heart. Listen, when you lay up the words of man in your heart out of fear, you'll be tormented by words of men. Fear of man is a snare. Okay? Fear of Saul, now in where he's fleeing, you would say it's going to get better. However, now he falls into the hands of the enemy and captive at his will. And he lays up these words in his heart. And he was, see the phrase? Sore afraid of Achish, king of Gath. Now, that word there for afraid, again, as I looked that up live time here, before it was the presence of Saul, just again the idea of at any turn I might be in front of Saul. This one here is that fear and that dread, the terrible thing. But it's also the same word that is used for fear of the Lord. And we're going to find David's remedy in overcoming fear of the enemy, fear of man, real soon. He changed his behavior before them and fiend himself mad in their hands, scrabbled on the doors of the gate and let his spittle fall down upon his beard. He pretended to be a crazy man, mad. Then Achish said unto his servants, look, you see this man is mad. Wherefore, why have you brought him to me? Do I need another madman? Have I a need of mad men? That you have brought this fellow to play the madman in my presence? Shall this fellow come into my house? David therefore departed. He escaped. Now, find your way to Psalm 34. Esther, Job, Psalms, Proverbs. You made the Bible study, Esther. There you go. Esther, Job, Psalms, Proverbs. Psalm 34. Okay, so got him tonight, overcoming, instruction in righteousness, meaning the scriptures are written and you receive the scriptures into your heart and follow the instructions to overcome all false religion in the world, wherever it may be found. False apostles, false doctrine, false brethren, right? Go right through the list. The false pope, if I can just capitalize on what's going on in the world right now. The false vicar of Christ. There's no vicar of Christ on earth. Okay? The false. Overcoming the false notion that you can't possibly understand the scripture unless the Pope interprets it for you. False notion. The false religion of Islam. The false religion of Mormonism. The false religion of Jehovah's Witnesses. The false religion of the false notions. Overcoming the false. All over this idea of the understanding of the truth of Scripture, that Jesus is Lord of all. If he's not Lord of all, you've got a very false notion. If Muslims say there is no Son of God, that's how you overcome the false. Right? We're not worshiping the same God. For the Mormons, Jesus is the spirit brother of Lucifer. Different Jesus. For the Catholics, he's a piece of bread. Different Jesus. Okay? For the Mormons, for the Jehovah's Witnesses, he's Michael the Archangel. Different Jesus. False Jesus, false apostle. Why so important now? Because Jesus said in the latter days there would be a rise of false messiahs. He says, many will come in my name saying, I am he. Again, a reference to the coming Antichrist. So again, overcoming the false. How do you overcome the false? Get the word of God in your heart. If you as a Christian aren't reading your Bible, praying, and doing what it says, you are making yourself susceptible to all the false notions of religion. One of your friends comes along and says, well, God doesn't really hate gay people. Do you realize that this is not new, what we're now seeing encroaching even in farther the evangelical, again, church? This was done 50 years ago in the Protestant churches, and the same methods get introduced in another wave. Listen, the scriptures are very clear as you study through the scriptures that that's an abomination to God. He's already showing he will judge. Romans declares the wrath of God is being revealed from heaven. And that's just an example of the false notions that exist. But we're actually already on to fear, overcoming fear. So if you learned a thing or two about the last 5 years, fear is very prominent in the world and can be used to make people do really dumb things to their own hurt. I think people are still wearing masks so they can't breathe oxygen. Okay. Now, just to offer up that this, you know, living, powerful word of God, Psalm 34. Best commentary on the Bible, Elijah, is the Bible, right? Turns out he loves Psalm 34. So do I. I will bless the Lord at all times. Oh, wait. Let's look at the title. Okay, so in your Psalms, you have the idiot notes. That's the publisher put in there. Get rid of those, right? Don't listen to those. But the next one, the title is actually written by David. So David wrote a title for this Psalm. Not all my sermons have titles, but some of them do. Not all of Gabby's worship songs have titles, right? Psalm 84, great title. Psalm 23, great title, right? But look at this. Look at the title of Psalm 34. A Psalm of David when he changed his behavior before Abimelech, who drove him away and he departed. What do you say? I thought it was Achish. Abimelech is a title of the kings of the Philistines. It goes all the way back to Abraham and the days of the Philistines and Gerar. Abimelech. It's a title of the king. Achish is his name. Abimelech's the title. The king of the Philistines. And he changed his behavior. What did we just read? So now listen to this psalm and look for overcoming. I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul shall make her boast in the Lord. The humble shall hear thereof and be glad. Don't you love it that the scriptures, again, life in Christ, he says, our Lord says, as he's praying, he's like, I thank you, Father, that you didn't bring this to really, really smart people, but you revealed this to babes, to the humble. And David's crying out, the humble will hear of this and be glad. Oh, magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together. Verse 4, I sought the Lord and he heard me. How do you overcome fear? You seek God. You pray. You pray. When you are afraid, again, I will pray. When I am afraid, I will pray. You hear that? When I'm in trouble, I will pray. Right? When I am weak, I will pray. When I have sinned, I will pray. When I'm in suffering, I will pray. How do you overcome fear? You seek the Lord and pray. Here's David's testimony. He heard me. I sought the Lord and he heard me. And look at this in verse 4. And delivered me out of all my fears. How do you overcome fear? Jesus delivers you. Jesus delivers you from fear. They looked unto him and were lightened, and their faces were not ashamed. Again, a description of the lifting of the countenance. When somebody's afraid and you look at him, you can see fear in their countenance. This poor man cried, and the Lord heard him and saved him out of all of his troubles. Psalm 34:6. Could be a good tattoo, maybe, right? This poor man cried, and the Lord heard him and saved him out of all of his troubles. Think of the church of Laodicea that says, we are rich and wealthy and have need of nothing. And what does Jesus say to the last day's church? If you're actually poor, wretched, miserable, poor, blind, and naked. David knew his state. See, when you're in trouble, right, you're humbled, you're brought low. This poor man cried out. The angel of the Lord encampeth round about them that fear him and delivereth them. What is really the remedy that David teaches in overcoming fear of man? Fear of the Lord overcomes fear of man. How did our Lord teach us? He said, do not fear him who can kill the body. He says, fear him who can destroy the body and send the soul into hell. See, when he says to us in his scriptures, he who seeks to save his life will lose it, but he who loses his life for my sake will keep it for everlasting life. This poor man cried and the Lord heard him, saved him out of all his troubles. The angel of the Lord encamped around about them that fear him and delivers them. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusts in him. It's kind of like Psalm 84. Blessed is the man that trusts in him. Oh, fear the Lord, ye his saints, for there is no want to them that fear him. Do you hear that? See, a big part of the fear, again, fearing evil, something bad's going to happen and you're going to be lacking in the future. Think about it. Fear of whatever it might be, losing your job, losing your wife, your children, your husband, your whatever fear would overtake you. And the remedy is fear God. Oh, fear the Lord, ye his saints, for there's no want to them that fear him. The young lions do lack and suffer hunger, but they that seek the Lord shall not want any good thing. Come, ye children, hearken unto me, and I will teach you the fear of the Lord. So here it is tonight, instruction in righteousness, overcoming, right? Overcoming the false, overcoming fear, right? There is no fear in love. Perfect love casts out fear. See, come ye children, hearken unto me, and I will teach you the fear of the Lord. What did Jesus come and do? He came, right, and preached the gospel, and then he taught. Right? He says, come unto me, all you who are weary and heavy laden. Right? Take my yoke upon you, and I will give you rest. There is no fear as you would follow the Lord. What is man? What man is he that desireth life and loveth many good days that he may see good? Keep thy tongue from evil, thy lips from speaking guile. Depart from evil and do good. Right? Acts 10:38 describes that Jesus went forth doing good. Doing good. Depart from evil and do good. Seek peace and pursue it. Peter, 1 Peter 3:10 and 11 quotes this psalm. In the context, he says, and who will harm you if you become followers of that which is good? See, there's no reason to fear when you become a follower of Jesus Christ and you follow him who is good. Okay? Even if you find yourself captive by the enemy and then you're able to, come to my senses, right, and describe that, I have been given the key to escape the snare of the devil, that I can pray unto Jesus and he will deliver me in my trouble. Depart from evil, do good, seek peace, pursue it. The eyes of the Lord are upon the righteous and his ears are open unto their cry. Psalm 34:15. You hear that one? When in trouble, right? I have no problem telling all of you and any of you in whatever trial, fear, situation. Oh no, I'm going to lose my kids. Oh no, this is going to happen. You're in a very desperate situation. You need to become desperate before God in prayer. What's David really teaching? That when you're in trouble and you cry out to the Lord, he will hear you, he will help you, he will deliver you. And look at this wonderful thing. The eyes of the Lord are upon the righteous. So let's take up this truth and instruction in righteousness, overcoming fear. Right? God sees the path of the righteous. His ears are open unto the cry. The face is the Lord against them that do evil, to cut off the remembrance of them from the earth. The righteous cry, and the Lord hears and delivers them out of all their troubles. The Lord is near unto them that are of a broken heart, save such as has a contrite spirit. Then why are we so afraid to go through trouble? Do you hear that? Whether you caused it or whether somebody else caused it, again, why are we so afraid to have trouble? Well, do you know why we're afraid? Because we're not in control. See, when you're in trouble, it's beyond you. But if you don't go through trouble, you'll never learn God to be this way. What does David teach? He teaches, I've been in a lot of trouble. God hears, God knows, God sees, God delivers. And it's humbled him, it's broken his heart. And again, he's been poured out before God. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivers out of them all. Doesn't deliver them, deliver the righteous from the trouble. He delivers them in the trouble. He keeps all his bones, not one of them is broken. And now you see the Holy Spirit describe the cross of Jesus Christ. Describe the trouble in this world. And when he says, I have overcome the world, he's talking about his cross. That's why this works. Evil shall slay the wicked, and they that hate the righteous shall be desolate. The Lord redeems the soul of his servants, and none of them that trust in him shall be desolate. All right, back to 1 Samuel, now 22. I changed up the pace on you from one chapter to two chapters a week. Anybody see Chris leaving? 1 Samuel 22. David therefore departed thence. He got free. What'd you learn about David? How did he get free? Right? Was it his great plan to pretend to be crazy? Now that might have been a Holy Spirit plan, by the way. We don't know. But what we do know is he attributes, in Psalm 34, he attributes what? God delivered me. I prayed and God gave answer. Okay. He escaped to the cave of Adullam, and when his brethren and all his father's house heard it, they went down to him there. And everyone that was in distress, and everyone that was in debt, and everyone that was discontented gathered themselves unto him, and he became a captain over them. There are about 400 men. Now, that's a great Bible study in itself, coming to Jesus and the state that you come to him. You don't come to him really when your life is put together. And so the men that gathered to David, their lives weren't together. Now I'm going to offer this up in this overcoming because we're here to make disciples. Right? You understand that's the context. Jesus came. And look at the group that he made disciples of. A tax collector who, again, the reputation of a tax collector sinner. In keeping company with. A zealot was in that group. Fishermen who were, again, you're like, well, do they even read? Whatever you might have said about the fishermen. And just offer up, he makes disciples. Not many wise after the flesh. Not many wise. Not many noble. And again, some formerly an enemy. Look at Saul. Was, you know, breathing murderous threats against the way. And he becomes a disciple of Jesus Christ and then is called and goes out and does these things. I offer up to you, and again, this overcoming. Overcoming, right? Overcoming what men will follow. Overcoming, right? Sin. Look at it. Distress, discontented, and in debt. David became their captain. Now look at this. When you come to faith in Christ Jesus and this overcoming, and I see it with David because David's going to lead them and they're going to follow their king and their lives are going to be changed, transformed. They're going to overcome their old life. Okay? Overcoming. Instruction in righteousness. Just come to Jesus in the state that you're in. Don't come with reputation here in church. Again, I've been working this with us. Don't pretend with one another that you have a good, righteous, upright life and you obey Jesus and all the commands and you're perfect in all your ways. Because none of us are. And why I instruct that, that's the false notion that you would then just concentrate on the outward show with one another rather than live to have that life or that character lived out. This is a place where you can walk in the light. You might be in debt, you might be distressed, you might be discontented. In fact, that's the ones that we'll be reaching out to with the gospel because we're a house of mercy. Just like those who are discontented. And so you overcome. David's not overcome by their lives and starts to live like them. Right? He overcomes what other men follow and he says, let's follow Christ, if I can strictly interject that. So you have them tonight, overcoming. What's the first one? Overcoming the false. Overcoming fear. We took a lot of time on that one. And then overcoming what men will follow. Right, what women will follow, overcoming sin. David went there to Mizpah of Moab, and he said unto the king of Moab, let my father and mother, I pray thee, come forth and be with you till I know what God will do for me. And he brought them before the king of Moab, and he dwelt with them while that David was in the hold. Okay, so he finds a refuge for his mom and dad. I guess they lost their tax-exempt status after he killed Goliath. Turns out that Saul probably would, David's thinking they're going to kill my mom and dad, so he can't go back there, and he provides for them. And then verse 5, we're introduced to the prophet Gad. Prophet Gad said unto David, abide not in the hold, depart and get thee into the land of Judah. Then David departed and came into the forest of Hereth. Now find your way over to 1 John 4. And here with the introduction, we actually have it a couple places tonight. I want to talk to you about the Holy Spirit. And specifically in this way. The power of the Holy Spirit upon your life. Right? The power of the Holy Spirit upon your life to overcome. Right? The enemy. To overcome what the enemy will do. To overcome this world. 1 John 4. I think it's 4:4. If I have the right verse. Ye are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. They are of the world, therefore they speak of the world, and the world hears them. We are of God, and he that knows God hears us, and he that is not of God hears not us. Hereby know we the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. You never have to apologize for that if you're sharing the gospel, you're teaching about the Lord, you're preaching, and the one you're sharing with says, that's not right. Well, they're not of God. See, greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Now let's talk about the Holy Spirit and the gift of prophecy. Here you have Gad. Gad, hearing from the Lord, says to David, get up and flee. Get out of this hold. But the hold is, again, a word to describe where I'm safe. And yet the Holy Spirit says what? Move. The Holy Spirit says, go there. The Holy Spirit says, stop. The Holy Spirit says, wait. Whatever the Spirit might say. Are you hearing me tonight? Overcoming, right? Overcoming, really it's the Spirit that controls the world. By listening to the Holy Spirit that's in the church. Gifts of prophecy. Very important. The prophet Gad said unto David, abide not in the hold, depart, get thee into the land of Judah. David departed and came into the forest of Hereth. Now you're going to see, and there's a change, as David has been fleeing and he falls into the hands of the enemy. Now he is being led by the Spirit of God. I've described to us in this pivot how important it is for us at this point in ministry and life and church and calling and timing and waiting for the Lord. And again, where you're at in your life. You know, some of you are thinking about getting married, starting a family. Others, you, your children are crossing over to that adulthood. And these are the things going on in life. And I offer up to you, you overcome this world by the greater work of God's Holy Spirit within, and that you would obey the Spirit of God, being Spirit-filled in all ministry, overcoming this world. Now, verse 6, 1 Samuel 22:6. When Saul heard that David was discovered and that men were with him. Okay, what's that sound like when a man who has been chased away and now he gathers men to him? It sounds like an army. Saul abode in Gibeah under a tree in Ramah, having his spear in his hand. All of his servants were standing about him, and Saul said unto his servants that stood about him, "Hear now, you Benjamites, will the son of Jesse give every one of you fields and vineyards and make you all captains of thousands and captains of hundreds?" See, he thinks David's going for the kingdom. Right? "That all of you have conspired against me, that none showeth me that my son has made a league with the son of Jesse. And there is none of you that is sorry for me, or shows unto me that my son has stirred up my servant against me to lie in wait as at this day." Now, Doeg the Edomite, which was set over the servants of Saul, said, "I saw the son of Jesse coming unto Nob to Ahimelech, son of Ahitob. He inquired of the Lord for him, gave him victuals, gave him the sword of Goliath the Philistine. Then the king sent to call Ahimelech the priest, son of Ahitub, and all his father's house, the priests that were in Nob. They all came to the king, and Saul said, 'Hear now, son of Ahitub.' And he answered, 'Here I am, my lord.' And Saul said unto him, 'Why have you conspired against me, though thou and the son of Jesse, in that thou hast given him bread, a sword, has inquired of God for him that he should rise against me to lie in wait as this day?'" He's accusing him of treason. "Ahimelech answered the king and said, 'And who is so faithful among all thy servants as David, which is the king's son-in-law, and goes at thy bidding and is honorable in all thine house? Did I then begin to inquire of God for him? Far be it from me, let not the king impute anything unto his servant, nor to all the house of my father, for thy servant knew nothing of all this, less or more.' And the king said, 'Thou shalt surely die, Ahimelech, thou and all thy father's house.' And the king said unto the footmen that stood about him, 'Turn and slay the priests of the Lord, because their hand is also with David, and because they knew when he fled, and they didn't show it to me. But the servants of the king would not put forth their hand to fall upon the priests of the Lord.'" Do you see how far Saul has fallen? Even his servants don't want to do this. King said to Doeg, "Turn thou and fall upon the priests." And Doeg the Edomite turned, fell upon the priests, slew that day 85 who wore the linen ephod. You realize what's happening. Evil seems to be overtaking good. What does Jesus say? Do not be overcome with evil, but be overcome evil with good. It appears like evil is overcoming. So here's your next one: overcoming evil. You have it tonight? Okay. Overcoming the false, overcoming fear, right? Overcoming, what was the next one? What was it? What men follow, and now it's overcoming evil. And after he killed the 85 priests, he went to the city of Nob. He smote with the edge of the sword both men, women, children, and all the babies. You see that? And then all the animals, the oxen, the asses, the sheep, with the edge of the sword. And then one of the sons of Ahimelech, the son of Ahitub, named Abiathar, escaped and fled after David. And Abiathar showed David that Saul had slain the Lord's priests. And David said unto Abiathar, "I knew that day when Doeg the Edomite was there." Now, how do you overcome evil? With good. Find your way to Psalm 52 and we'll wrap up here tonight. So David wrote Psalm 34 when he was experiencing 1 Samuel 21. He wrote Psalm 52 when he was experiencing 1 Samuel 22. Now when you look at 1 Samuel 22, again, put your finger and just keep them there. We'll kind of look back and forth. David's final words, right, 1 Samuel 22:22. David said unto Abiathar, I knew it that day when Doeg the Edomite was there, that he would surely tell Saul, and look at this in this phrase, I have occasioned the death of all the persons of thy father's house. David takes a responsibility, and he counts what he did a failure. Do you hear that? He failed in ministry that day. By going to Nob, he endangered and caused the death of all the priests in the city. Now, overcoming failure. Did I get all five of them tonight? Overcoming the false, overcoming fear, overcoming what men will follow, overcoming evil, lost my alliteration there, and then overcoming failure. Psalm 52. Remember, skip the idiot notes, but look at the title. You can even cross off the idiot notes. The publisher added them. I don't know if the publisher was right or not. You want to hear my idiot notes? I'm not going to tell you. To the chief musician, Maxil, a psalm of David, when Doeg the Edomite came and told Saul and said unto him, David has come to the house of Ahimelech. How do you overcome evil? With good. How do you overcome failure? With good. Look at this. Why boast thou thyself in mischief, O mighty man? The goodness of God endureth continually. Thy tongue devises mischief, like sharp razor work deceitfully. Thou lovest evil more than good, and lying rather than speaking righteousness. By the time David gets through this psalm, you're going to find out how he addresses failure. Through righteousness, he counts that the evil man who did evil is the one accountable for the evil that was done. How do you overcome your own failure? Right? Did David cause the priest to be killed? And the answer after he gets through Psalm 52 is decidedly no. One thing you'll never hear in the news with all these shootings that are going on everywhere and people are dying, you'll never hear the announcers say, the one who did this, the one who murdered, the one who took life, the one who killed, he was evil. We must get rid of evil in this world. You'll never hear that. But Jesus said that all the time. What's David come through as he overcomes his failure? He overcomes evil by good when confronted with his failure. If you're going to do any ministry, you're going to fail. You're going to go somewhere, do something, and what you thought it was going to do is going to completely fail, and people will get hurt for it. It's the way it works. Nobody can perfect ministry. Nobody can perfect parents. Nobody can perfect anything. But in your failure, this is where God works. And by the way, Psalm 51 was also David's failure. I think he thematically put them together. Okay? But in this psalm, he's calling evil, evil. Of Doeg, he says in verse 3, thou lovest evil more than good, lying rather than speaking righteousness. Thou lovest all devouring words, O thou deceitful tongue. God shall likewise destroy thee forever. He shall take thee away and pluck thee out of thy dwelling place and root thee out of the land of the living. Now look at verse 6. The righteous also shall see and fear and shall laugh at him. How do you overcome evil? With good. How do you overcome your failure? By recounting the truth of God's word. The righteous shall also see and fear and shall laugh at him. Lo, this is the man that made God not his strength, but trusted in the abundance of his riches and strengthened himself in his wickedness. Now you know what Doeg was doing in selling the herds for Saul to the priesthood. Right? He was getting rich off of that. Now the contrast, and here's the decision and how you overcome failure. But I am like a green olive tree in the house of God. I trust in the mercy of God forever and ever. I will praise thee forever because thou hast done it. Do you hear that? God allowed that to happen. When it seems like evil has overcome, what do you know that's true? God will make right and will make every and judge every evil. In fact, it's described in the book of Revelation that there is a vengeance coming upon the evil plotting of men, and that the saints of God are crying out to God day and night, waiting for God to take action. We as believers can understand that. David understood it. How did he understand it? By going through that experience. Now, what do you need? You need character. You need experience. You need hope. How do you get that? Well, by going through trouble. Glorying in tribulation, knowing that the testing of your faith, right? Again, it works that patience, James says. But Paul, writing to the Romans, says that that produces that character. You get experience. You go through it. You learn. How did David learn about evil? Doeg was there that day, and David looks back and says, I knew it. See, how many times you go through something and the Holy Spirit's giving you that gut check and you don't act upon it at first. And then you find out later, oh, that was an evil person and they were harming children, or that was an evil person and they were doing this. And then you look back and I knew it, but I didn't act upon it. That's David's failure. But he turns to be in the house of God. I will praise thee forever, because thou hast done it, and I will wait on thy name, for it is good before thy saints. I think it's a vengeance prayer. Now, one last verse to pick up back in 1 Samuel 22. So we wrap up tonight. What's David's word to Abiathar now that he's escaped the evil and he wasn't killed? He says, abide with me. What's our Lord promise us in this world? What's he promise us? Tribulation. Are your doctrines off? Have you been listening to the false teachers that say you should live a wealthy, healthy, happy Christian life? The false doctrines? I'll bring this full circle for you tonight. John 16, I started with it, it's in my heart. David's conclusion is to Abiathar, abide with me, fear not. He that seeks my life seeks thy life. What does Jesus say to us? He says, abide in me. Right? Don't be surprised when the world hates you. It hated me. If they called the ruler Beelzebub, what are they going to call his followers? I'm saying abiding in Christ is going to come with something. John 16. I think it's 33. Yeah, there you go. These things I have spoken unto you, that in me you might have peace. In the world you shall have tribulation. But be of good cheer, I have overcome the world. Abide thou with me. And here's your last one for tonight. I guess we get six of them. Overcoming trouble. Right? Overcoming trouble, afflictions, tribulation, suffering. What's Peter described to the church? He says, after that you have suffered a while. It's temporary. After that, you have gone through trouble. The key thing, if you're in trouble, maybe you're facing divorce. You're like, how am I going to get through this? Whatever it might be, maybe whatever that you're facing, maybe you're facing bankruptcy. How are you going to get through that? And this is the truth is there is always another side of this. Know that God will get you through the trouble, overcoming trouble. 1 Samuel 22:23, abide thou with me, fear not, for he that seeks my life seeks thy life. But with me thou shalt be in safeguard. What does Jesus offer us? Abide in me. Abide in my love. Abide in my commandments. Right? If he says, in me you will have peace. Now, would you like to now come and follow Jesus closer? Would you like to know that Jesus, who David refers unto, to God, that he would hear you in your trouble and deliver you? Isn't this what salvation is? When you're convicted by sin and you know that you're in trouble, that if you continue on in that path of disobedience and sinning against God, that will destroy you. Would you like now to come and follow Jesus closer? Well, we have the remedy tonight. How to overcome the false, how to overcome fear, how to overcome what other men will follow, how to overcome evil, how to overcome failure, and what's the last one? How to overcome trouble. Overcomers. Overcomers. What's an overcomer live like? Falls down 7 times, gets back up. If you stumble in disobedience and sin, you confess your sins unto the Lord. He's faithful and just to forgive your sins, cleanse you from all unrighteousness, and follow him again in righteousness. See, you must be born again to see the kingdom of God. These bodies will die. That's why you need to be born of God. You need to be born of the Spirit, because when these bodies die, where will your soul go? See, and I offer up to you in the context of David, the Psalms, and life, and what men will follow now. It's not new. But I offer up to you the overcoming life. Not faith, and he imparts it all to you up front. Quite the opposite. Because when you walk by faith, you walk one step at a time. So he gives you the overcoming life as you follow him by faith. Come and follow Jesus. He says it this way: if any man desires to come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. Do you know why people are going to be in hell? Not because Jesus didn't die on the cross. That's not why they're going to be in hell. They're going to be in hell because they refused to believe upon God's one and only Son. You hear that? Now, David says, come and I will teach you. What's he say to Abiathar? Come, abide with me and I will keep you. Isn't this our Lord's words? Jesus says, come to me and I will keep you. Come to me. He who seeks my life seeks yours also. You'll be safe with me. Because the devil prowls about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. The instructions are, resist him steadfast in the faith. Do you know that Satan is going to be relentless upon your soul until you're with Jesus? Chris Finstead, is Satan relentless?
Yes.
Yeah. Is there power from Jesus to overcome? I go right through the room with each and every one of you. Right? Elijah, is there an overcoming power of Jesus that you can come back to him? And he takes you back. That's my testimony too. Is there a power to save you from hell, Chris Lemony?
Yes.
Right? Matthew Grant, is there a power of God to make himself known, right, to you personally with great fear of the Lord? Yeah. So Heavenly Father, thank you tonight as we remember Jesus in communion. Lord, you have given us this remembrance so we know that you died on the cross. Lord, my prayer tonight, if anyone here does not know you as Savior and Lord, that changes tonight. We want to rejoice in your suffering and death and remember that that has brought us life. We proclaim your death till you come because you're alive. In Jesus' name. All right, we're going to pass out the crackers and the grape juice and then receive them and then hold them and we'll partake of them together. Lord Jesus, we remember you tonight and the way that you had given instruction on that night when you were betrayed, how you took bread and broke it and gave thanks and described that this is your body that is broken. Lord, how you went to the cross, how you suffered. Lord, we know that you gave your life for us that we might live. You are the bread of life. You are the Word. Lord, we trust and believe in you. Lord, greater power over the enemy who rules in fear. Lord, but you rule in love. Your perfect love on the cross. Lord, our prayer, remembering you tonight, is that you would perfect us in your love. And this we pray in Jesus' name. Let's partake of the bread together. Likewise, also the cup after supper, it's Luke 22, says, "This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you." So, Lord Jesus, new covenant, right? You gave it to Israel. You gave it to Judah, Lord. And then you brought us Gentiles by faith, right? This grace in which we stand in you. And you reveal that your blood was not just shed for Israel, but that you died for the sin of the world. There is no limit to your death on the cross. Lord, you have died for all. And we remember you tonight that it is your blood that has washed us clean from our filthiness of sin that defiled our lives. And your death has brought us life. And we thank you for it in Jesus' name. Let's partake of the cup together. So, Lord, we rejoice in you, in that you are the hope of the glory of God. And in all these experiences of trouble where you deliver us and you teach us to follow you and walk with you, and we trust your goodness and your deliverance, Lord, we have every reason to believe that we will be with you in heaven for all of eternity, for our future expectation of good is in you, and you are our hope. In Jesus' name, amen.